My name is Martin Luther. I was born November 10th, 1483. I was baptized 11th, the day after, which was the custom because of the high infant mortality rate. I was named after St. Martin because that was a day assigned to him on the 11th. My father was a copper miner. We didn't have a lot of money, and yet they scratched together, my mother and father, enough money to send me to school. And I excelled. I did very well, and that opened doors for me. Doors into a way to hopefully provide for my siblings, the chance for them to go to school. That was my father's hope. That was my father's dream. I reached the upper levels, working on an advanced degree in law. I went to Erfurt University there to study. One night as I was traveling home, walking along a road, a storm broke out. And in the midst of that storm, the lightning rained down, it seemed, unendingly. And I fell to my knees and I cried out to St. Anne to save me. And if St. Anne would save me, I would leave my studies and I would go and become a monk. I survived. And I kept my vow. God spared my life that night. I can't tell you how displeased my father was at leaving. This is what he had based his hope on. This is what he understood was the future for the family. And I tried to tell him that I could serve him and the family better by becoming a monk to help them earn their way out of hell, to help earn their way into eternal life and salvation. And so I forged ahead. I put on the black robe of the Augustine order. And I did the best that I could. I memorized all the Psalms. I paid attention to the daily orders, the routine that was laid out that every monk had to do. It started at 2 a.m. with our first worship service, followed by six other worship services throughout the day, each and every day, 7 days a week. I fasted and I prayed. I meditated and I confessed over and over again, all to no avail. For in this work that I performed to save my own soul and hopefully the souls of my family and loved ones, there was no peace. There was no assurance in anything that I did. I plunged myself into confession deeper and deeper, trying to get rid of my sin. I tried to account for every little sin that I had, not just the Ten Commandments, but every thought, every word, every deed, everything that I knew that I had done wrong and everything that I didn't know that I had done wrong. I worried and I fretted about my sin and if I was doing enough. The little bit of scripture that I knew just brought more despair to me, like the text that was read a moment ago from Romans chapter 1. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. For faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I heard that phrase, the righteousness of God? How can he accept me if he's righteous? How can the righteous live by faith? That makes no sense to me because I'm not righteous. And I don't know if I have enough faith. God's way of righteous living means death for us all. At least that's what I thought it meant. And so I wore the ear out on my confessor and my mentor. Until in a fit of rage, he came towards me and he said, Luther, would you please go commit some kind of a sin so you can really come to confession? I didn't eat. I beat myself with a whip. I did not sleep. You might think these actions is odd, but this is what we were taught to do as monks. None of it helped me. In fact, it drove me deeper into despair, and I began to question more and more whether God was the loving God that I thought he was. For how can a loving God make such demands of perfection when I was so unable to attain it? It crushed me. I could only see God as a God of wrath and punishment, for there was nothing that I could do to get out from under that wrath. And I began to hate God. Have you ever felt that way? Do you feel that way now? That you can't please God? That you can't, and you know it, do what's right? And the moment you think you've done something right, you realize that's a sin because that's boasting? Have you backslid in your faith and your promises to God, not kept things on the up and up, that you end up running deeper into sin as you fall further back and you feel more and more despair, and maybe that Christianity and the whole idea of faith is useless? It's easier just to live my life and ignore God and take my chances in the end. Have you ever felt that you can't live with what God demands? Then you need to know that you're not alone in those feelings. We've all felt them at some time. You know, in order to help relieve the torment that I felt in my soul, my mentor sent me to study to become a priest. And that only made it worse. As I went to study to become a priest, I had the opportunity to take a pilgrimage to Rome, to where our Holy Father sits, the Pope. There I received communion from our leaders. I prayed at the holy places. I went to all the relics and did what was required. I paid money to set free loved ones, all to no avail. When I returned, I went to study at Wittenberg. I studied theology there, and I received my doctorate. And this was really the first time for me that I was actually able to open up scriptures for myself, because that was not something that was done. Instead of another person telling me what the Bible said, I opened up scriptures for myself and began to read and study and understand. And as I studied, I taught others. I taught the students the Psalms, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. I studied the original languages of Greek and Hebrew, and things became clearer for me. The fog began to lift. I saw Scripture was pointing to a different teaching than I had been taught. I began to see that God, the God of Scripture, was quite different. I saw the error in my thinking, the error in the church and its teaching. For we cannot earn, we cannot work, or buy with a few coins dropped in a box our way out of hell. It was obvious once I opened up Holy Scriptures, God's Word, and studied it there. The focus of Scripture was not on me and what I do. It's not on you and what you do. It's what God has done for us. The Scripture's focus is on Christ, what He has done for you and what He has done for me. Romans 1, I began to understand in a very different light. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul writes, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith, It's true, we're all guilty. That's not up for debate. The law points to our need for a Savior. It makes us conscious of our sin. And yet, as I looked at this verse and looked at other scripture texts and let scripture interpret scripture, I began to understand that God is righteous. And we're not. And He knows it. And that's why He supplied His Son, Jesus. If we're to trust in our own powers to save ourselves, we're doomed. It's never going to happen. The burden of sin is too much for you and I to carry. It's too much for us to throw off of our backs. But we don't have to do that because Christ took it. He took the yoke upon Himself of our sin, the burden. We leave it at the cross. We are justified. To be justified means that it's as if we have no sin. And there's truth in that because Jesus has taken it from us. Our sins are no longer ours. I'm not saying it does not matter how we live our lives, for works do follow salvation, but it doesn't make us right with God. My studies of scriptures, especially Romans and Galatians, showed me how I am made right with God through Jesus. Through faith in Christ, we are made righteous. Why did God do it this way? So that no man, no woman, no person, no child, no old person on their deathbed can boast and say, I kept the law. I obeyed God. I went to church, that I prayed. It's much more difficult to question your salvation when your salvation comes from outside of you and your actions. It removes those thoughts that are self-centered and how I've lived, how I've prayed, how I've confessed. No, those are works. Might be good works, but they're still works. And so there is no need, my brothers and sisters, for you to question your salvation. It has been accomplished in Jesus. It was Christ's work for you and for me. God is a God of love. So much we can bask in words like we heard from the gospel reading here a few moments ago. Jesus is there with some Jewish people and they're talking and Jesus says to them, the truth will set you free. And they say, what are you talking about? We have never been slaves to anyone. In fact, we're heirs. We're connected because we've got the right blood. The blood of Abraham. And Jesus' response helps them see that they aren't free. That they're a slave to sin. But when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so we sit here today understanding that we have been freed, and we are freed indeed. We're now saints. Sinners, yes, but also saints. Our sins are forgiven. We are saved through God's grace alone. The love that He has for you and for me. The salvation that we have comes through faith alone. Faith in trusting in Jesus as our Savior. And that faith has even been given to us by the Holy Spirit. And all this is based on Scripture alone. Not on the teachings of man, but on God's Word and His promises. God's grace alone. Through faith in Jesus alone, all based on Scripture alone. So brothers and sisters in Christ, if you ever feel far from God, unable to live that life of a Christian, refocus. Remember, Jesus died for you, and you are not separated from God. you have been set free. Take this news to others who, like myself, for far too long doubted and was troubled in my heart and soul and found no peace. Let others know that there is peace in Christ Jesus. I spent my life living too much under the law, trying to account for sins and earn my salvation. And it caused me great distress and it rocked me to the depths of despair. Do not let others continue living without knowing the love that their God has for them, their Father in heaven. Share God's love with them and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Share that truth. Amen. I need to step out of my role as Martin and say one more thing. I'm new here. You're going to find that I share very much my heart. You'll know what I'm feeling, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. I don't try to hide it. I don't feel the need to hide it. And I shouldn't, as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. If anything, this is a place where we should be able to share what is on our hearts. You know, Luther really struggled at the death of his daughter. There's times that his faith was just rocked. There's times when he had to be reminded. There's times when he had to be prayed for. His wife, Katie, did a good job of that. If you've ever read anything of Luther's life, Katie was a big influence. One time, Luther was carrying on about how bad things were, and Katie said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and get it over with so he'll take your life?" And Luther kind of straightened up and went, snapped him out of it, though. Because it's easy for all of us to get caught up in the attacks of the world, the devil, and even our own flesh. This last week's been a pretty tough week for me. Maybe you got the newsletter. We got news that Michelle won't be joining us. Not for a while. Mid-November, maybe. Looks like she's going to be missing possibly Grace's birthday, maybe David's birthday. It's kind of a kick in the stomach. And yet, in that kick in the stomach, what do we do when those things happen? What happens when that kick is in your stomach and some of you are going through things that I don't even know about? It's one thing I think we can learn about as we look at Scripture and look at Luther's life, to lean in. Lean in deeper to Jesus. Spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word. Because He is truth. And truth will set you free. That's how we get through the hard times. That's why Jesus came. He came and dwelt among us to be our next door neighbor. So we can share with Him what's on our hearts and on our minds. And that's my encouragement to all of you. Share. Lean into Jesus and share with each other. Because although Jesus isn't physically here anymore, He has put us here together as the body of Christ to lean in to each other. And thank you for your prayers and support. Thank you for the love that you've shown me. And I pray that we all, including me, can show love and care for each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing.